Which in another case, that would be great, but this is...
All right, we'll be back on the record. And Mr. Constantaris, the floor is yours.
All right. So I'd like to submit into the record this article, Environmental Noise in the Cardiovascular System. It's in that binder, but you might want me to just
yes.
give it to you so you don't have to find it.
Right, that'd be great. Thank you.
So the relevance of this, the context behind having sort of a medical document submitted was the problem that I'm most concerned about is not the being bothered. I'm worried about the health impact of the noise. And there's been a lot of study that's been there's correlation to problems of increases in noise and exposure to noise. And we're going to be, in my area, we're going to be getting the impact noise up to 90 decibels during the day. And that's a lot of decibels for a long period of time. But it has to happen. I get that because there's no way to go around it. My concern.
Can I just say for the record that this article is Exhibit 12 for our record?
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And so the concern is that having had the full day of exposure, which is unavoidable, then not having any night where there's just nothing seems excessive. And as I started looking into the impact, this was one of the first articles that came out, and they assert, and I'm not a doctor, but they assert that for every 10 decibels above 50, your risk of cardiovascular disease increases by 6%, which seems sort of shocking because that can be very very impactful, especially for those of us who are older. So I would really like that these kinds of health considerations be taken into account. And it could be quackery, I could be wrong, but it'd be really, it seems like there's an awful lot of material out there on this topic, and it's not getting better. So that was the context for, because it's part of the law that there should be considering sort of the impact on health. And so the only reference in the opinion was to ear damage, but cardiovascular disease, obesity, there's a lot of other immune potential issues that people are, researchers are saying are connected. So it'd be, I'd like that to be considered.
Okay, and I did forget to swear you in. So. Do you swear
I swear
affirm?
I told the truth.
Do you swear affirm that you will tell the truth in this proceeding? Okay.
I'm not sure if that's all I needed to do to submit it into evidence. So
okay.
did I meet that?
It's part of the record now.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Constantaris?
No, but I'd like to offer a rebuttal witness, Ms. Park. She has reviewed this.
Okay. We'll save that till, I'm not sure, Mr. Roberts, do you have a presentation?
A brief statement.
Okay. We'll do Mr. Roberts' statement.
I have just a brief question for
okay.
Mr. Constantaris.
Yeah.
If you would look at, if you have it, Appendix A to the Noise Management Mitigation Plan, existing baseline noise monitoring data.
A little bit of a mess here, sorry. I got it. Which page are the appendix?
Appendix A, raw existing baseline noise monitoring data.
Mm-hmm.
You have those tables?
Yep, I'm there. Yeah.
Without going through them in detail, would you agree that they, for the most part, show that the existing baseline noise is over 65 decibels typically? for the locations monitored.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand that the variance is granting a 6 decibel increase over the code limit of 65 decibels, correct?
Yes.
Okay, no other questions.
Anything else on this witness?
Nothing from the city.
Okay. All right. Mr. Roberts, do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you.
I have to say I appreciate all the work that everyone has put into this, and I hope something good comes out of it. When I look at this map, which caught my attention, I feel that since I'm in a way representing a broad group of appellants somewhat, but specifically the party that is my party is the tenants in my building, and I feel that it will be hard for me to explain to them how this apparent image apparently indicates that we are not going to have any increase in sound level, although it has been explained to me now why it doesn't. My major issue when I filed the appeal was that I felt that there was a kind of inequity in the distribution of the different zones, and I recognize that, you know, as I said in my opening statement, that the there is a residential zone, and then the rest of the 7 zones are commercial, and I think that's a matter of fact. I just want to voice that I believe that the commercial zone has enough residents that perhaps there should be an accommodation to give more of the same treatment to all 7 zones, and that would be a successful conclusion in my case for our representing our group. And aside from that, I don't really have anything else to add.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Questions for Mr. Roberts?
None from the city.
Okay. All right. I guess we can move on to your rebuttal witness, Mr. Downs.
Sure. City calls Ms. Park. Good afternoon, Ms. Park. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I've already been sworn.
I have.
Have you reviewed this document, Exhibit 12, previously?
Yes, I have.
I
don't have a copy here, but let's see.
There's, yeah, the,
I can
in the
bring,
binder.
I can bring
I already
own.
Submitted mine, sir.
Oh, here. Thank you.
So you're familiar with that article?
Yes, I am.
What are the sources of the harmful noise that are identified in that article?
Well, this article concentrates on harmful impacts from long-term transportation noises, mostly vehicular traffic, air traffic, railroad traffic.
And in your expert opinion, what differentiates the sources of noise identified in that article and those permitted by the variance?
Well, primarily duration. All the examples given in this article pertain to very long-term noise.
And in contrast to?
In contrast to what we're talking about here, which is a 6-month construction project.
And with respect to the noise that is exhibited by those sources in that article, Is it regulated in any manner that would compare to the variance conditions here in terms of nighttime noise?
Right, right. Well, aircraft noise, for example, is quantified and regulated by a descriptor called the 24-hour LDN, or 24-hour day-night noise level. And typically, that is taken as an annual average.
In your opinion, is that article applicable to the issue in analyzing the issue that's in front of the examiner this afternoon?
No, in the sense that it does not address short-term occurrences.
Nothing further.
Okay. Would you like to ask
just one or two?
Sure.
Yeah. So I get that there's the... I mean, there's a reason why I actually put other documents in as well, or tried to. But my concern is that in the 3 months that we're going to be exposed, that daytime is supposed to be at 90 decibels, and that's pretty substantial. And I don't think that I think they were looking at 75 as being harmful, and so. While I think 75 maybe over long periods of time might cause serious problems, and we don't have that kind of time frame, but we are talking about higher number dBAs, and that does concern me because...
Objection, Your Honor. There's a wind-up. I'm assuming there's a question.
I guess I'm asking that the short-term... is it possible that the long, the short-term but louder sounds are going to have a similar impact?
Well, I'm not sure that it's appropriate for us to discuss those because those are not terms of the variance. Those are sound levels that are permitted per Seattle Municipal Code during the daytime.
So... Okay, so you're saying that the 90 decibels?
The 90 decibel is something that I guess would require a change in the legislation.
I'm sorry, I wasn't asking you to. I was just asking, would it have a similar impact? I wasn't saying you had to change it. I mean.
Maybe you could clarify your question, Mr. Constantine.
Maybe. I'm not sure I'll be able to, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
The idea that. Shorter periods of time but louder noises, is it possible that that may have the same type of effect as the lesser noise over a long period of time?
So I object. It's compound. It calls for speculation. I don't know where it's going.
I guess it's going to equivalency. So
I'll let the witness try to answer if she can.
Well, when we're talking about noises that are that short, and we're talking impact noise, then where the relevant criteria start to be whether or not it causes hearing damage. And for that, we have separate descriptors which say that, for example, for over an eight-hour work day, as long as a worker is exposed to less than 85 decibels, there is no reason to start monitoring his hearing or look into a hearing conservation program. And so it goes from there. If it's 90 decibels, then it would be over an 4 hour period and so on.
Okay.
So what you're saying is I should be careful if I'm exposed because I work at home. So with the window open, I should be careful. Is
argumentative, Your Honor. Objection. judgment.
Agreed. Overruled. I mean, she can't make an opinion about your circumstances without sitting in your home and doing all sorts of measurements. So
that was sustained?
That was, yes, sustained. Excuse me.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Nothing further from the city? Thank you. All right. We will go to closing arguments. We're back to our order of presentation will be the department first or the city first.
So, Your Honor, we'd like to submit a request that that we brief, instead of offer oral closing arguments, that we brief the matter as a closing.
I see. Is that your wish as well?
That was my expectation. I thought that we had talked about that at the hearing conference.
It was an option, yeah.
That's generally my preference, and I'm pretty around, in town the next couple of weeks. I don't have trouble turning around, and there's two of us working on it. We can turn it around pretty quickly.
It also had the benefit of letting Ms. Smith-Blum submit anything
as a final argument.
Okay.
Right.
Can I ask how that actually works then? Is it like the other briefing where you file and then there's a reply, or everyone files at once, and then is there a reply?
My experience has been, of course, it's up to the discretion of the Ms. Examiner, is that we file closing briefs and it's done.
That's it.
Yeah, so we'd all do it within 7 days. Would that work?
7 days.
That's actually not really good for me because I've been pushing everything off to get to here. So if I could have 2 weeks, that would be great because I'll try to get it done earlier, but because it's not my day job.
Okay, well, would not be my preference, but I will accommodate you on that. So we'll set the date 2 weeks from today.
Thank you. Are there any limitations on the length, or is there anything I should know about that I don't? And that's usually almost everything.
Well, we don't have any specific limitations on length. However, I will tell you that shorter is better.
All right. Are there anything else I should know about so that I don't?
You can look at the rules of procedure for anything that may.
It has this closing brief stuff in there? Okay. I've never heard of that.
Well, I don't think there's anything specific about closing briefs in there. We'll look.
Not that I'm familiar with.
Yeah. I asked because
everyone just make your argument and cite to the evidence that was presented.
Okay.
That's all there.
Thank you.
All right. I figured I'd find out now as opposed to later.
You kind of you start with the evidence shows that,
Okay.
Because that's what I will be looking at is the evidence. All right. Anything else before we?
All right. I'm sorry. All of the documents that we've looked at today are part of the evidence, so I can make reference. So the
yes, anything that got an exhibit number is part of the record.
Okay, great. And that pretty much includes the app, the opinion. All right.
That's right.
And before we go, we don't have to do it on record, but before I go, I want to make sure I have a list of the exhibit numbers because that.
Yeah, I think that would be
okay.
Helpful.
Yeah, Elena can help you with that. All right, we'll be off the record. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your patience.